Ramsey TV.
From the edge of the bottom of the Floridan, and you know how that finishes, right? The Floridan
Peninsula.
Ding, 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 ding. Johnny, tell him what he's won. This is Martin Zender and my friend and now yours, Greg Davis, who is visiting here from Indiana. And we're about to find out all about this guy, how he ended up at headquarters here. And I love to hear people's stories, and I know you folks do too. So I capture as many members of the body of Christ. I lure them down into my lair, or as I call it, my bat cave once in a while.
You do have a bat entrance.
I do have entrance, yeah. Part of my entrance is covered with this bush. It kind of gets in the way. And Manfred told me, Martin, you need to trim that bush. I said, no, I want the covering the whole bat cave entrance so nobody knows it's there. You can kind of just sneak through it.
I drove past it 3 times.
See? Secret. Nobody knows. This is a gentleman that you saw 2 days ago on Monday's show. He had his camera running while I was making the show called What is Pornography? And so I added a little bit of his footage there and put it into mine to make things interesting for you. Was that weird, like watching the show live?
Watching the show being recorded?
Yeah.
Yeah, very weird.
Yeah, because you said like later when you were actually watching it when it was published, it seemed like a totally different thing.
Yeah, it didn't feel like I'd been there.
I remember when I was a kid, our family went to New York City. This was back in the 70s, and we watched the game show Jeopardy being recorded. That was back in the day when Art Fleming was doing it instead of Trebek, right? Yeah. And you can't believe how small the set is.
Really?
It looks totally like a play set or something. On TV, they make it look epic, awesome. And then when you see the thing, it's like, this is the Jeopardy. Anyway, you want to talk about other things besides that?
We can talk about anything you want.
We can talk anything. Well, you go ahead. Take a lead. What is what? What is what? What were you going to say?
No, I was answering the question.
Oh, I thought you were going to come up with something. Just take us in a whole new direction.
No. Well, I can do that.
You're coming here from Greenfield, Indiana.
Yep.
So what made you want to come down here and talk about scriptures with a guy like me?
Well, I had to meet the master.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He told me to say that.
You'll get your reward later. People out there, they want to hear, our fellow members of the body of Christ, want to hear how people came to the truth. Because we all have unique paths and we all have unique walks on how we got here. So I want to hear about you. What mainstream religion, I'm assuming you came out of a mainstream religion. What mainstream religion were you in? And how did you end up coming out of it to the place where you believe all these fantastic truths like the salvation of all, the sovereignty of God, the death of Christ? Tell me a little bit about it.
Okay, well, I guess I got saved when I was 13. I went to a Christian camp with a friend. The second time I went, I actually, gave my heart to the Lord.
Did you go to the altar?
No, it was around a campfire.
Oh, did you go to the campfire?
A little too close.
Yeah,
that's why this is gone now. that was about it. Yeah, I didn't really do anything with it. I wasn't running around, telling everybody like they say you're supposed to do, So I went for years, basically believing in God, but that was about it.
Yeah, you believed he existed. That's
pretty much, yeah. And then, I knew the words. He was my savior.
Okay.
I didn't know
what that
meant.
Right.
Not a whole lot of follow-up, the summer camp didn't follow up, of course, so with any of that. So, so I just kind of went for years, and I would, read a little bit of Bible, watch a little bit of, Bible teachers on TV. Ran into, this was probably 35-ish, so about 95. I ran into a guy on TV named Les Feldick.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah. He's a pretty good guy. I mean, he's definitely...
He's a Paul guy. He sees the Paul.
He sees the different Gospels.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the first time I ran across him on TV, I said, this guy's a nut. What do you mean, two Gospels? And so I turned him off. And about a year later, I was flipping through channels again, and I found him again. So I started listening, and the more I listened, the more kind of sense it made. So, I, about a year and a half later, I came to the conclusion he was that was right. It was true. I mean, I did my own study.
Well, good. That's what you're supposed to do. It takes time. You kind of have to question it if you like come like right away, just believe whatever somebody says. But you're a good Berean. You looked it up yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Deb, you have to do that.
Yeah.
So I went for, you know, several years. I think I've always told people that I think God was kind of bringing me along slowly. So he introduced me to the different gospels, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the grace of God. And then kind of in the same way, I'm driving to work one morning and turn on the radio, and there's this guy named Dan Sheridan of Cross and Throne Ministries.
I know that guy.
You do know him, don't you?
I know that guy.
So, and kind of like the same thing with Les, he said something, I believe it was something along, he was talking about universal reconciliation, how everybody's going to be with God, or he was talking about there was no hell, and of course, my initial reaction is this guy's a nut, and I turn him off. So, about 2 weeks later.
You were right about Sheridan being a nut, but he was telling the truth then.
Truth. You notice I didn't retract that statement.
Yeah, I do. I noticed that.
So, yeah, about 2 weeks later, driving to work again, turn on the radio, and lo and behold, I hear this man. And, you know, you and Dan, you guys had the greatest rapport. And that was one of the first things I noticed about your guys' show was that this isn't your typical Christian radio program.
For sure.
Yeah. You had fun. You poked fun. You had, you know, it was just a great time. So, again, it's just the more I listened, the more sense it started to make. And, again, I started doing my own research. It only took me a year this time to make the conversion. And I'm still learning. You know, I think
aren't we all?
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was it. Just driving to work in Indianapolis.
See, that's when I heard that, and I just found this out 2 days ago. Maybe it was 3 days now since you've been here, but I have to apologize to you, and I think I did, because when I heard your name, I wasn't sure. Like, if I met this guy?
No,
we Greg hadn't met. Davis, your name sounded familiar, but I correspond with so many people, and I wasn't sure because you said you were from Indiana, mm-hmm. Indianapolis, Greenfield nearby. But and I thought
you had several seminars there.
Yeah, and I had a couple conferences. So I'm thinking maybe I met him at a conference. But when you told me that you heard Sheridan, and then me and Sheridan on the radio, mm-hmm. because I remind our listeners, some people maybe don't know, our viewers and our listeners here, that Dan bought radio time back. This was in 2010. I'm pretty sure it was 2010. Might be 2011, right. But I think it's 2010. He bought radio time at WBRI in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And he had a contract for I don't know how long, but we broadcast in five cities, five random cities. Like one was Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. One was
Albuquerque. Were you there?
Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Birmingham, Alabama, and Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. How I remember those, I have no idea. But why these cities? I also have no idea. And I was just doing what I do, which is just talk into the microphone and just express my love and appreciation and things about God I discover. It never dawns on me. This sounds good. This is going to sound weird. Mm-hmm. But I never really think of people driving around listening on their radios. It's just when you said that, you're the only person I know of. You know, you're the second who found us or me or this truth but on by listening to it on the radio in your town. To me, that's just, it's an amazing thing because it takes on a life of its own.
Yeah.
How many other people heard it, you know, driving around? Who knows how many other people heard it?
Yeah.
And yet
and
those
it.
People I haven't heard from them. One guy hears it. I want to ask you something about your first experience at that campfire.
Sure.
Did you feel differently when you went up and did what they told you to do, confess your sins or say the sinner's prayer? How did you feel after that?
Warm, because I was a little close to the campfire.
He had warm feelings. Oh, you mean a deep spiritual?
No, I
was burning. Warm. My tennis shoes were burning.
I really didn't have that great, you know, the conversion experience that everybody says you're supposed to have. And
interesting.
I never really, no. That's why I said I got saved, quote unquote, when I was 13, but I really didn't become a believer until I was about 40.
Some people are going to be shocked to hear that this man, and I had the same experience, but it was a little closer together. You got saved, as you said the right words, and you did what they told you to do. You maybe had a little flutter of something. I don't mm-hmm. know. Maybe you didn't. I think that's awesome that you didn't,
yeah, it was
in a way.
47 years ago, so it's
yeah, you can't.
I may not remember it all.
Yeah, exactly. But I had the same thing. the viewers know that yeah. I thought I was a believer when my interest in the Lord started, when I had that experience of wanting to know who Christ was. Mm-hmm. But I came to realize that that's when, the relatively speaking, the battle was beginning right. for me. Battle between God and Satan.
Right.
Relatively speaking, we know God's in control of everything, sure. but even in Daniel, we read of Michael battling the prince of Persia, right?
Right.
So these battles take place. So there was a war on for you, my friend, Greg Davis.
Thank God I'm on the winning team.
Yeah, you're on the winning team. Christ won. What's the first truth that really hit you? I mean, you heard Sheridan, you shut him down. 2 weeks later, you stubbornly go back to that station. And now Sheridan's with me, and I have a story to tell you about that, but I'm going to get to it later. I'm going to find more about what first hit you. What truth was it? What was mm-hmm. there one verse or one sentence that somebody said that turned you over?
I don't remember a specific sentence. I remember the topic, when you guys started talking about no hell.
Yeah,
that there is no hell, in the three words that are mistranslated, hell. In most of the translations, that was really kind of the hook for me. That's when I said, this I want to listen to. Mm. Because I had, being a good Baptist, I don't remember if I said I was basically raised Baptist once, you know, my dad was a Baptist, so when we went to church, it was a Baptist church.
Right.
So, of course, you know, I had the traditional teachings of hell, but there was always something in the back of my mind that says, how can a loving God do that to the creation that he claims to love, you know, and he is love. I mean, you know, I would not ever think about doing that to any of my kids.
Right.
You know, so why would the creator do that to his? So when you guys started talking about that, I think that was really the hook that got me. I'm going to listen to these guys and see where they go.
That's interesting, because you said when you first heard Dan that 2 weeks earlier mm-hmm. that he was talking about the same thing, but your visceral reaction to that was, this can't be right.
Right. The Baptist raised up in me.
The
says, this
Baptist
guy's in
you
yeah.
said, what salvation of all? But what I'm hearing now is, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me if I am. But it's this, you heard the words. You heard us talking technically mm-hmm. about translations. And I know you're a smart guy. You're a computer guy. And was it something about that we got into the weeds on it? We got into the technical translations. You think that helped?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because like...
Fantastic. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of skipped over kind of a fairly major step in my Christian walk, I guess, my believer's walk. I'm not real sure I like using the word Christian.
No, don't. Don't. Like I don't use it. I'm going to have to edit that out of here. You know, you can't say that on this air, on this channel.
Okay. In my walk, I was very heavy around, starting around 92 or so, I got really heavy into Chuck Missler. And he's definitely not a, you know, universal reconciliation guy, still believes in hell, still believes in a Trinity. But he approached his teaching from a more scientific point of view. He's got a tape series called Beyond Perception, you know, where he talks about how, he quotes Einstein, I think it was, where he says that reality is just a stubbornly persistent illusion. And how the real reality is spiritual, you know, in God's realm.
Right.
You know, and this is just for lack of a better term, a simulation that he's putting us
through. Matrix.
The Matrix, yeah. Yeah, hopefully not that bad. But yeah, so anyway, that was because I was already in that mode of the more technical side of belief. Then when you and Dan started talking about the, you know, the mistranslations of, you know, Aeon and, you know, and then, yeah. you know, Gehenna and all that.
That got to you.
That got to me. Yeah. And I think the second thing that's sparking some memories in me now, when you guys started talking about what death is, that, again, that never made a whole lot of sense to me. Why would it, you know, if death is the traditional idea of death, why would God send people to hell as soon as they die, bring them back up to the great white throne, just to throw them right back into hell again? That again, didn't make a lot of sense to me. So
he's a loving God. That's just what he does. That's how he demonstrates his love.
It's God's love.
He burns you for a few hundred years, then he brings you to the great white throne, makes you yeah. feel bad, and sends yeah. you back to the fire.
Yeah.
It's interesting that first salvation quote experience you had involved fire.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah, it
like, get used
circle.
To it, kid.
Yeah.
Get used to it, kid, because this is going to be hanging over your head the whole time.
Yeah.
So
I do. I remember one thing we were talking about. You know, talking about how God is love and send people to hell and stuff. And then you said that the typical Christian response to that was, well, that's just God's love. God's love is different than ours. And your response to that was, you mean it's worse?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's different, so it's worse?
Yeah,
exactly.
It has to be. I mean, if that's true, if all that's true, then it's worse.
Yeah, and yet these people are staring at this verse that says, God will do above and beyond anything we're able to hope and expect and dream. And I used to think, well, if I, as a weak human being, can think of the love of God as so good that it saves every sinner, and that's just me as a weak mortal human, then God has to exceed that. Are you telling me that I, as a mortal human, am going to develop love to a greater degree than God is?
Not likely.
It's the Christian God. Well, just that's the way I do it. I'm sorry, you just have to get used to it. I'm better than you. Better means worse in my world. Yeah, oh my God. I told you I think I'm gonna have my sister send the Christian God suit down here. It's up in Canada. Oh, I hope I didn't wreck it for anybody. That it's actually a costume. I'm sorry, Greg.
I thought you had a better relationship with God than that.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but yeah, the whole thing is
okay. So that's Duke, Charles, and now God.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, the whole thing's a sham. The whole thing's a sham. Yeah, I was going to bring the Christian God back here. I got some ideas about fun little videos to make about the Christian God, but I'd like to tell you something now.
Okay.
Back in 2010, my life was a mess. It was a wreck because, as my viewers know, some people might find out for the first time, I was married for 25 years, and my wife of 25 years abandoned me. And I was begging her to get back. I didn't understand any of it. And at that time, I was desperate to do anything to get her back. Yeah. Anything. And one of those things was I was willing to give up this work. I was willing to get a job, any job, just to help try to make her happy, try to do whatever I had to do. And at that time, my personal borders were being evaporated. I've always had self-respect and my borders. Certain things, you know, you just won't do. But at this time, like, I was so hurt and I was so scared that I was going to lose my wife of 25 years and the mother of my children that I would have done anything. So at that time, this was right before what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's why I'm sharing this, because it's related. I went out one day and I applied for 16 jobs. Now, I'd already been doing this job for 8 years or whatever. No, what am I talking about? 2003, yeah. 15 years, okay? I was 15 years into this work, but then this crisis happened in my life. I said, well, I'm gonna do anything. And my wife kind of wanted me to get a normal job, a regular job. Why do you have to be this freaky scripture guy? Kind of like, you know what I mean? Kinda. So I went out one day and I drove all around Huron County, Richland County, and I applied for 16 jobs. I mean, I applied for dishwasher at Bob Evans Restaurant. I remember going many different places, but I remember going to Applebee's, I think it was. Yeah. And there was a seating person job open, a host.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I want this job because my wife would think I was normal. I could give all the money to her on my knees. And I'd have a hot meal, because at the time I was living in exile in an apartment, which made me sick and ill every day. It just tore me up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, at least I get an employee discount, I'll get a hot meal. So I was ready to sell my soul, folks, quit this work. And I got an interview. And I think I told them in the interview, put that uniform on me right now. Give me the shirt. Give me the pants. I'll start taking people to their seats today. I can do it. Where do you see how I take people to their seats? Where do you see how I hand them the menus?
Best people sitter there is.
Yeah, I'll be the best seater you ever had. So they said, well, we'll get back with you. And they did get back with me. I went for a second interview. Wow. I think, well, this is it.
Kind of hard to get a host job, apparently. Huh?
Yeah, it's not like a second interview for, you know, second in command at Amazon or, you know, president of United Airlines. I mean, you know. So I get a second interview, and of course I ace it. I nail it. I charm the hell out of them, right? So I got this. Well, we'll call you, sir. So I waited 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. What the heck's going on? I finally called them, and I said, This is, you know, Martin's Under. I applied for that epic, noble, beautiful, which it was to me, seating position. Well, sir, if you weren't called, then you didn't get the job. Wow. So I'm like, what? How? If on my way home, I think I actually went there. Even after they told me, I went there in person. So I'm just, you know, come on, you know. On my way home, this is not kidding. I get a call from Dan Sheridan. Oh, I've worked with him before, and he says, "Hey Zender, I bought some time in Indianapolis. I'm doing this show." I go, "Yeah, yeah, I know. You told me about it. I've been on the air for 2 weeks." And he goes, "How would you like to join me?"
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history because, ladies and gentlemen, if I had gotten that seating job, I would never have joined Sheridan. You wouldn't be listening to me now. I was ready to sell my soul. Stupidly ready. God absolutely shut that down. He says, "You ain't going to seat people at Applebee's." Mm-hmm. I was totally willing to do it. It's noble work. If anybody does it, God bless you. I wanted desperately to do it. God says no. And it's at that time that Sheridan called. Then this guy comes and tells me that the combination of Sheridan and me changed his life.
It did, absolutely.
And I'm just so awed by that and truly humbled by it to think that God overrode my desire. You know, every time I always pray, they taught you to pray this way. It's the Jesus way. Lord, let me get this damn job. Let me get this job. But Lord, your will be done, not mine. So it was unmistakable the order in which it happened, the timing of it, that I'm driving on, and then Sheridan goes, "Hey, you want to join me?" I said, yes. But again, if I'd gotten that job, I wouldn't have. Right. I guarantee you. I would have done everything to get my wife back.
And I'd still be trying to figure hell out.
And you'd still be trying to figure hell out. It was so, you know, I didn't know that until you came here and told me that. And then, of course, I related it to the trauma I was going through. And then I see the pieces God puts together. And that's just one of the pieces he revealed.
Yeah.
How many other pieces? How many other people out there? And you tell people about this truth now all the time.
Yeah,
and you've brought people to it.
Yeah.
But you don't know how many other people you've brought to it. I mean, I put this show out, and I don't know what happens to it after I'm barely smart enough to put it up on YouTube. It's a miracle that I can get it up on YouTube. I can't do anything more than that. I don't promote it. I'm not a marketing expert. Mm-hmm. I'm not even a marketing dummy. I'm just lower than that. So God gives it life. God's the one that goes out, right? Yeah. Paul says, "I plant, Apollos waters, God causes the growth." And so, folks, you just got to put it out there. Yeah. When you testify to the truth, and you're doing this every day, testifying to people. God's word will not return void.
Absolutely.
And so everything that happened to me and everything that happened to you, all the heartaches, God takes his freaking time.
It's painful sometimes.
It's painful. God
does
not go as the crow flies.
No.
In order to get from point A to point B, he goes to point C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. It's just like...
Right.
But every single point is required for that. And so, that just blew my mind.
Well, I thank God for you and Dan for that program. You know, I've downloaded all of them. I listen to them probably two or three times a year, the whole, 23 weeks, I think it is. And... and I've, read several of your books, and I go to your website taught Sunday school for a while after I, learned a lot of these truths. And I was telling you earlier today, I was going to a Baptist church and started teaching Sunday school, and I was friends with the pastor, and he gave me some latitude, which is really unusual for a pastor.
Yeah.
For a Baptist pastor especially. He just basically said, you can teach whatever you want. I mean, he was familiar with what I believed, but he said, as long as you preface it with, this is my belief, this isn't necessarily what the church believes, then we're okay.
Yeah.
So I did that for about 3 or 4 years, and I got several people, hi guys, I'm sure they're watching.
How do you like them now?
Yeah. I'm in the big time. I had off and on, we would do, Sunday school, and we would meet outside of church and at night, and probably averaged probably 10 or 12 people, and four of them really, really just grabbed a hold and just really
Also, so these are the people you're talking about, the ones that grabbed hold?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
At first, I thought you were talking about the people you used to be with, the people who oppose you. They're watching now.
No.
That's what I was saying, like, okay, you know. It's going to be that you hear me say this all the time. After we're snatched away, the people who rejected us,
they'll be the ones watching
this. They'll be the ones looking at you glorified, and when they see that, you know, that's where How Do You Like Me Now comes in. But okay, so you're telling me that the people you brought along into this troop, they're watching now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what I don't want to put you on the spot. What are their names? Because I want to greet them here on the.
Okay. Well, I'm going to.
You better remember them.
Oh, I remember them. I want to say it alphabetically, okay. So I'm not. Yeah,
no,
not
favoritism here.
Right.
Okay.
So, Carrie Daniels.
Carrie Daniels, greetings. Thank you for watching.
Dave Thomas.
Dave, love you, brother. Don't know you yet, but you're my brother, so maybe I'll meet you someday.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Oil up there. Michelle Waddy.
Michelle. Martin Zender greets you from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. What peninsula are you on? Next.
And Susan Donahue.
Susan Donahue. Nice to meet you over this electronic medium. It's the best we got sometimes, except for this guy. He wasn't satisfied with the electronic medium. He says, no, I'm going down to the edge of the bottom of the Florida
That's
Peninsula.
That's right. I'm going to the pit.
You're going to the pit. You're going to the bat cave,
That's
man.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The epicenter.
See, if you'd have told me you had a bat cave, I'd have been here a lot sooner.
Yeah, right. I should advertise it as that. Right. Yeah, a bat cave. So I'm thankful for you folks.
Yes.
And you should be thankful for this guy. He won't toot his own horn, so I'll do it for him. It's hard to tell people about this stuff. Yeah. I mean, sometimes because you're so used to rejection. And so you're always taking a risk. You're always putting yourself out there. But you folks who we just greeted here, the hand of God is on you. Mm-hmm. The hand of God has been on you your whole life, even when you didn't realize it.
Amen.
He's prepared you for this moment now. And every single thing you've gone through has been absolutely necessary to bring you to this point. As I said, God doesn't go as the crow flies.
No, he does not. And sometimes it's hard to follow, but like you said, we're the caboose and we go where the engine goes.
We go where the engine goes. We're attached to the faith of Christ. Well, Greg, I can't thank you enough for coming down here. The fellowship with you has been fantastic. We have a couple more days of it. Well, one more day. And if anyone doesn't know, Dan Sheridan and I, back in 2010, we had a radio show in Indianapolis for a few weeks. I think we ended up doing 110 shows, 112, something like that, and they kicked us off. Our contract was canceled. They locked the doors because I guess someone finally decided to listen to us.
Somebody from management.
Yeah, somebody from management finally decided to listen to what we were teaching, and we were letting it all hang out, folks. They used to lock us. They used to put us in the studio by ourselves. WBRI Indianapolis on 62nd Street. They used to put. We were in there by ourselves. And Sheridan and I would look at each other. It's like the lunatics are in charge of the asylum. This is amazing. So we went for it. And we thought, when are we going to get shut down? We just wondered, when's the boom going to fall? But thank God that it went on long enough that you heard it.
I did.
And then you passed it on to these other people. And we recorded every single show, ladies and gentlemen. And I am putting a link down here for you of the shows that this man heard driving through Indianapolis in 2010. I get emotional about this because the way God orchestrates things is mind-blowing. But you can still listen to these shows. Yeah. The truth is timeless. These truths that we talk about are as applicable today as they were the day we broadcast them. So many of you probably don't know this exists. The link is down there. Yeah. Listen to these shows. This man goes through them all.
I do.
Every year. So
a couple times
a year. Okay. Well, again, thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
We greet those special saints and to all those who are watching us. We adore and love and wait for our Lord and Savior along with you.